here we are again, another time to hike up the mountain through the 6 inches of snow to the Borath Monastery to learn from the two clerics that have been teaching us about the Pakbak these last few weeks. Are you ready, Jim? Shall we make our way up?
Majka, Yeruch.
Okay, I'm knocking on the monastery door. Is there any answer?
The only answer is honor. Welcome, friends. Come in.
I believe you didn't say 42.
I believe that we left off as we were about to begin the Battle of Khamchi. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And if you're not, we'll listen to it again.
That's right. The more you hear it, the more you'll learn. Janshi, would you like to begin?
Actually, if I can take a moment to go back for just a second, that's an interesting point that you make about the answer being 42.
Yeah.
Because in Klingon, you say 42 by saying Losh Mach Cha. And that also can be interpreted in Klingon as saying, we wait, it displays. Not sure how that plays into that whole thing, but
what do you get when you multiply 6 by 9? And does Klingon even have a mathematical base 13?
Well,
that's a good question.
Ancient Klingon only counted to 3 and then cycled, so it was base 3. I don't know if Klingons could quite conceive of base 13.
This idea that that 42 basically means to wait sounds very existential. I mean, I think the next thing we'll have to do is translate waiting for Godot into Klingon.
Now you're talking. That would be cool.
I hate waiting for Godot.
I haven't even read it in English.
Oh, I have. And I've seen a couple different performances of it, and I hated all of it. Anyway.
But let's get to a performance that we enjoy.
Exactly.
Khamchi mait vasha vetdak molor varvat lul kelish lukara je kashtach vish rep lauchar vasha teb molor shuvwit pu iu vaj rush cher iu rap cha rot khosh rap Cha rot vud chen yin rush niteb cha yin tach mech shan chaj lukad niteb cha shuvle rik chavwe chaj duk chu kelesh but betlech chach dak shish tach vish ner iu na chuk na chuk na chuk Vaj rush cher iu, rap cha rot khosh, rap cha rot vud, chen yin rush. Rik shikral dak, molor khosh wau lupau mech, bik tik chech jush shuvwit rom, niteb cher molor nik rokwit, jokwit et cha bor kelish. Ludel era molor, Lujang mekbor nom och, Yek chuk chutach rach, Dau je jokwe, Nuch ek kengbor mang rom vam, Ludel era molor, Lujang mash et lok shobebor krib lurur, Vaj rush cher iu, Rapcha rot khosh, rapcha rot vud, chen yin rush.
And again, this is a responsorial between the lore singer and everyone. So the Battle of Khamchi, lore singer, Kalesh and Lukara, they fought in the Great Hall against Molor's 500. Many hours of bloodshed passed. The Great Hall filled with the blood of Molor's warriors, all. So the bond was sealed in blood, of two equal in body and thought, the bond of life. Lore singer, fighting side by side against the odds, for survival together. Then Khalesh Batla pierced the last of them. Showered with the soldiers' blood, they mated. They mated. They mated. Everyone. So the bond was sealed in blood of two equal in body and thought, the bond of life. Lore Singer. The band of warriors then went past the shore to the river Skrall, to Molor's seat of power. One by one, Molor's scouts returned. He asked them which banner Khalesh marched under. They reply, it is Mechbognom, the banner of unity and revolution. Molor asks them, what weapons this army carries? They reply, shaped as the crescent moon. So the bond was sealed in blood of two equal in body and thought, the bond of life. Now, real quick, what I wanted to do is point out, and this should be pretty obvious, but I want to share it anyway. We're drawing an echo back to the creation story. We had the first Klingon and his mate, and they were said to be two Klingon hearts joined together, and when two Klingon hearts are unified, none could stand against them, even the gods. And they're drawing that parallel here with Khalesh and Lucara. So the responsorial about the battle, the responsorial about them mating together, and the responsorial of the end of the battle is the same. The bond was sealed in blood. Both the bond of the couple and the bond that brings two warriors together. Is there anything that you wanted to share, Janshi?
Yeah, a couple interesting things. One of the things that I found interesting was there's the passage which reads, I'll just go with English here. Khalesh's Batleth pierced the last of them.
Yeah.
And I find that to be an interesting passage because what it actually says in Klingon is it's a little different. It says it pierces the final one, their final one. It doesn't really say their final what, but we all know it's their final opponent. But it goes on in Klingon where it says in English, the soldier's blood. In Klingon, it uses a word that is a very broad word and is seen specifically to include the, not just like the infantrymen, the lower ones doing the majority of the fighting, but also the officers, the commanders and the generals. And so it's making it clear the entire army has been completely destroyed, even to the last of the commanders of the army. And there's also a couple other interesting things. They actually call it, in that passage, they call his sword Betlech. At least this Klingon version does. Mm-hmm. Of course, we heard earlier about it being called the Bat-et, though I don't think they actually use Bat-et in the Pak-Bat. But then, towards the end of this whole passage, Molor asks what weapon the army carries. And there, as his spies answer him, he doesn't respond. They don't respond simply with Betlech, because, of course, at this point, it probably mm-hmm. hasn't taken up that name. So we have a more direct reply, a reply more like what they probably would have said, which is to say that the weapons they carry are shaped like the crescent moon.
Right. I was thinking about that and pointing that out. The name Batlash has not been given yet. Good point.
And what's the thing on this banner they talk about?
Well, the name of the banner is made up of sort of three mm-hmm. words together. And these are good words in modern Klingon. Mech, which mm-hmm. means to burn. Bolg, which means to be born. And Nom, which means fast. But it's no longer understood why or how they came together in that form to refer to the banner. It doesn't make grammatical sense in modern Klingon, so we don't fully understand why it's called the Mech-Ol-Nom.
Yep.
Could this be another pun that Mark Okrand threw into this thing?
If it is, I don't see it, but I would never say no as an answer to that question.
Yeah, I can't see it either, but I thought maybe you guys might have seen what it is.
I mean, I can stretch my imagination and imagine that it since a revolutionary symbolism, the idea of it, a revolution coming on quickly and burning fast, could be implied there, but that's purely speculation.
And resulting in some sort of birth or rebirth.
Right. Yep. Okay. Canto 14.
Shikral biktik rom. Rush cher de iu. Shikral biktik lu rosh cha parmak kai. Pa rom ta shuvwe ej pa losh chach. Man rom vam devwe. Ludel e ra molor. Vaj rach lujang. Mang rom ludev wedge lord. Wa doge lau, hoch doge push. Et dodge jack var, duk we home. Molor vuk lu tutach mech chalkach tosh. Kalish vam ler nech. Kuktach vish wanit vam, rak dak pauta. Kotar kempa. Kech je birel kalish vak molor. Rik kalish juch chom rosh kotar. Ej kalish mong uch choch. Mai lunung boh rep me e kalish vad mu me vam. Ja ta molor kotar je.
Assembly.
I think kotar is that name you were looking for.
Yes, it was. Yes. And just a reminder that although Kalish is going to fight Molor, he is being chased down by Kotor and his Fechlari. So the assembly at the River Skral. After having sealed this bond in blood, the two lovers left for the River Skral, where the assembled warriors awaited them. Molor asks them, "Who leads these armies?" And they reply, "Three men lead the army, with one who is most impressive with a five-pointed blade." Molor is amused. He climbs a watchtower to see this Kalish. At the same time, Kotor and the Kemp-a-Kech arrive at the camp. First, Molor taunts Kalish. Then Kotor comes to Kalish's tent and grabs Kalish by the neck. This is what Kotor and Molor have said to Kalish in the hours before battle. I did make a equation between the Fechlari and the Kemp-a-Kech, because many people do. But I should point out that that is something that I am putting into this text that is not necessarily from the text itself. They may, in fact, be two different armies. The Kemp-a-Kech being the honored warriors of Grethor, whereas the Fechlari, there is still a great deal of debate about whether these were real soldiers or literal Fechlar. So just wanted to be clear on that so as not to, spread any false doctrine or something of that idea. Was there anything that you wanted to share on this one, Janshi?
Not really, though before we move on to Canto 15, I think it's worth pointing out that it ends here by saying, you know, the following is what Molor and Kotar said. And then so Canto 15 will be what Molor says, and Canto 16 will be what Kotar says.
I was a little confused by the English translation here, because when it says, "This is what Kotar and Molor have said to Kalish in the hours before battle," it does not make it clear if what follows is what they're referring to or what preceded it is what they were referring to. Usually in the Federation standard, there would be a colon at the end of that sentence to infer the next part is what they're referring to. But I did understand what it was getting to, but I'm glad you pointed that out.
And I have to admit, the Klingon is not any more clear.
True.
The Klingon presents a phrase like saying, here is a quote, and the quote may have preceded or followed the Klingon declaration that there's a quote. However, you know, since next we have a separate canto, the immediate thought is, oh, did I miss them quoting someone? But the quotes, these two separate quotes are separated into following cantos.
Exactly. Okay.
So shall I read the canto, the quote from Molor?
Hecha.
Vak Molor, Kalish, 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 Relab Reu Nech Shoch, Nuk Wablij Ach Beautlach Be, Nitledjbor Petakme, Tenud, Chachvad, Nib Yan Widjwit Jan Je, Uk A Lushop, Nerwit Et Vichau, Chachvad Eu Chik. Vinob, Vaj Klutach et Lushik Lachbe, Rik Po Veb, Mike Naj Chatmoch, Shuvwitwit, Robrupchukbe Rach, Kalish Kalish Kalish, Wanit Vitach Darbor Virinmoch, Becher Ku.
Molor's taunt. Kalish, 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 you are but a globfly. You sound irritating, but you lack the sting. Look at these patach at your side. They don't know how to distinguish a sword from a plow. I will let my soldiers feast, give them blood wine until they can stand no more. Then, the morning after, the battle will not be as short as it would be if my warriors were fit. Kalish, 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 I will finish what I have started. You will die well. Now, one thing I do want to point out here is the phrase where it compares the sword and the plow. Although the Pakbak doesn't actually contain this particular story of Kalish, there is a well-known story that is often told that after the battle, Kalish went back to his father's farm and plowed the entire farmland with his batleth, literally using a sword as a plow, and he completed the task in one day. That doesn't quite work with the story we read here in the Pakbat, because the farmland was destroyed by Molor's army. But I did want to draw that comparison, the mention of the sword and the plow.
Also, it might be worth noting here that the Klingon does not actually say a plow.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this word plow in the English comes from associations that English speakers might have. The Klingon actually just calls it a farming tool.
True, true. And I do know that when I have studied Earth military history, the Japanese culture, which I find incredibly fascinating, and I think most Klingons would have a great deal of affinity for, were known for using many different kinds of weapons, many different kinds of farming implements, such as threshers for beating grains and so forth, as weapons. And scythes used for harvesting grains as weapons. So yes, I do believe the idea of a plow and a sword being related is something that many cultures that the humans have could relate to.
So I have a question here.
Mm-hmm.
This Molor's taunt, how would you imagine Kalas would react to this? In my mind, he would say, okay, well, that's fine. We're going to kick your butt anyway. But, you know, would this anger him, or would he just continue to go his path?
Well, I think the question is, would the anger cause him to misstep? Which is, of course, what a taunt is intended to do. There's nothing wrong with him being a bit angered by it. But it's what he does with it that's important. And we tend to project onto Kalesh the wisdom to put aside his anger and to think rationally. What is the best strategy going forward? We get many of our phrases of wisdom from Kalesh, such as the wind does not respect a fool, and so forth. And I could see him applying that same sort of reason here. Malor, you do what you want. We will fight to the best of our ability, whether we believe your army is drunken and impaired or, you know, at their prime. That would be the wise thing for any general to tell his armies. So, yeah, that would be my answer.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. That sounds very accurate.
But I don't think that he would be beyond being at least a bit annoyed, if not outright angered. I think he's already at the point where he's at peak anger to be going after Molor in the first place. Destroyed his ancestral home and, you know, was responsible for the death of his father and the whole situation with his family. I mean, he's pretty much had it up to here, as the humans would say. So I don't think this bit of mocking is going to really make a huge difference.
I'll add in a note about the mock, however. It's interesting, especially humans may not be familiar with the glob fly. He calls Kalesh a glob fly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's important to note that glob flies are particularly annoying and distracting. They come in swarms and they buzz loudly, and it's hard to focus on anything but the glob flies when they are around you. However, they don't actually bite or sting or do any damage at all. And so in calling Kalesh a glob fly, he's saying that he's no more than a noisy insect and doesn't even have the capability to do damage to Molor.
So basically feigning to dismiss him.
Yeah, basically feigning to dismiss him. He even, I think if I understand the taunt correctly, says that he's going to go ahead and have a party and all his soldiers will be tired and half drunk and hungover, mm-hmm, and he's still going to beat them. It'll just take a little longer.
And it's, I find it to be a very, excuse the phrase, this might, the humans might see this as a pun, but it's a bit feckless, really, because Kalesh has just come out of this rather incredible battle at Khamchi, victorious. So he already knows, you know, he is capable. So to receive a taunt like that, it kind of just bounces off the armor of the victory he's just won. And I do appreciate you explaining the glob fly. We tend to take our idioms, you know, as if, you know, they're universally understood. And you're right, the humans might not. Although I will point out that an ally of mine in the Federation, I was discussing the concept of the glob fly. They claim that they have something similar. He referred to it as a gnat. But from his description, it didn't quite sound quite as annoying as a glob fly is. They sound far, far smaller, but he did seem to get the idea based on that.
Well, here's this idea. Yeah. You've talked about these insults that Molor has laid out for Kalesh, the glob fly, the mm-hmm, drunk soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
But Molor finishes up by saying, "You will die well." Now, isn't that a sign of respect?
You could take it that way, but it could also be a taunt in and of itself. It lacks the tone because we're reading the written word. We would actually have had to have heard how Molor said it, right?
And note also, yeah, the Klingon itself doesn't say you will die a good death. It says, oh, you're really going to die.
Yeah, yeah. So you could take it.
Well, now that makes more sense.
Yes. But again, this is the way you might say it. You might say you will die well, and that could be thought of as a concession. You are going to lose, but you will die well. But it can also be taken as a part of the taunt. You are going to die. You are going to die a lot. So there we go.
Unfortunately, We don't hear Kalas's answer to Molor.
No.
Because it turns out Kalas has something more pressing on his mind. Shall I read the next canto?
Before you do, I want to comment on that. I personally have noticed that. You're right. We do not get a response to Molor. And personally, I feel like that omission is intentional. I feel like he wouldn't have said anything. Maybe he would have. I don't know. Because you're right. We're about to go into something else. But I like to think that had this next canto not happened the way it did, he would have just turned and walked away.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Something else happens before Kalas even gets a chance to answer.
Yep.
Light Kotar. Wedjlor Choponlach Betchur Vaj Robvam Vitap Edj Dach Nadev Kachoch Kordutwij Kuvmo Jimarpu Kordutwij Kuvka Moch Lutmech Jivang Vinech Klingan wo nur robje choshmoch kuvam chet di molor nur robje pujchochpu nablij yipab molor yikag nitlej kempakech wit bimej et vichoutmo retor cher di lord nitwit vavwit je Chach datlejnish, rik cher puwit pu kok dak, jich chomuv shoch, dak natlej och, ru da chupor vilaj, achwa vait vipok, et da chauchu nech, yin tach wit pu vimilcha moch jich, cher puwit pu. Gamil chatmoch shoch, shoch vad kuvwit kem cher, et wivdit cher, pop chevchur kuvwit edj et da kashmoch chur jilaj.
So this is a conversation between Kotor and Kalash. Kotor's deal, Kotor. Give me three good reasons not to squeeze this hand tight and kill you where you stand, Kalash. Reason of my betrayal was my family honor. I want to restore this honor. With it, I restore pride and values of the Klingon Empire. For under Molor, they have grown weak and faint. Kotor, you may go on as planned and confront Molor. My Kempakek will be at your side. In return, you must go back with your brother and father to the underworld. You will join me afterward in the realm of the dead, where you should have been right now. Kalash, I will accept your proposal, but only if you grant me one condition. I will restore honor among the living, and you will restore honor among the dead. The honorable will be rewarded after death chooses to bring them to you. If you make it so, I accept. So this is not only the deal that is made on the battlefield for the upcoming battle, basically Kotor giving Kalash a reprieve from, you know, his judgment to fight this battle before returning back to the afterlife. This is also Kalash establishing what we will then call Stovokor, so that there is not just the one place where all dead go, but establishing a place for the honored and the dishonored. Anything else?
Yes, I want to point out something that doesn't get pointed out well in the text. It's there if you look carefully, but in the English, it starts out by saying, give me three good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, the three reasons aren't really pointed out, but if you read carefully, the reasons are family honor, pride, and values, or what's another word we might say?
Virtues.
Virtues, that's it. Excellent. Yeah, so they're basically family honor, pride, and the virtues of Klingons.
Mm-hmm.
It gets mixed in with some explanations, and so it doesn't come clear as three reasons, but he starts by saying I was betrayed and want to restore my family honor. So reason number one is family honor. And the Klingon Empire under Molor has grown weak and faint. So I need to restore pride and virtue or values. Those are the three reasons given that convince Kotar to let him go through with his plan.
Good point. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Canto 17.
Shikral biktik mait. Ruvam kelit kotar rik par jatachvish kalish uchha ej rachvo yit. Shikral wedge biktik homedak char cha mangrom. Her shuvwipu lau mait mo biktik teb iudok. Her wa rik her lak tik du luduk lu nach du lutek lu yod me peta betlech me krob wa lor mup betlech ej ush du tekta wa dich her morat wej shuvwe shuvtach vish mong daj duk lu ej her rik Her kanjit, kalish ret dak shuv, wat jar hochta her tach fish. Her wa rik, her lak, tik du lu duk lu, nach du lu tek lu, pum vavdaj et ler kalish, chem moch, chetron dak kam ej jach. Kotar, 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 ne rosh cha shuvwit lit retor luleng, jilait ta ej bat jipab ta, vaj chordanish rech bat shuvtach jaj chach, vich bet choch lat shuvwipu, be rosh koi mech, ij mech kram tach, jush mech. Koch puchaj, jach tach vish je chal lushich bechaj, ej kotnosh yav lukhom moch. Kotar, 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 ne rosh cha shuvwitle retor luleng, jilaita ej bat jipabta, vaj chordanish rob bat je jub chevjaj.
The Battle of the River Skrall. Again, this is a responsorial between the lore singer and all. Lore singer. Kotor thinks about this for a while. Then without a word, he releases Kalish and walks away. The three forks of the Skrall were the scene of battle between the two armies. Many of the warriors fell. The river ran red with blood of a glorious battle. All. One by one they fell. Hearts were pierced. Heads were severed, lore singer. The lethal batlets ripped open armor and cut off legs in a single stroke. First, Morath fell, fighting three men at once. A fatal wound in his neck killed him. Then, Khanjit fell, fighting at Kalash's side, killing one enemy while he fell. All, one by one they fell. Hearts were pierced, heads were severed. Lore singer. Kalish saw his father go down. It filled him with pride. He stood on the battlefield and screamed, Kotor, Kotor, Kotor. Your two warriors approach you. They are bound for the underworld. I have kept my word of honor, and so should you. Let endless battle and honor await them. The rest of the warriors stopped. They stood and listened to hear the mighty howl. They too started to shout to the heavens for the passage of their comrades. Their howls made Kotnosh soil tremble. Kotor, 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 your two warriors approach you. They are bound for the underworld. I have kept my word of honor, and so should you. Let endless battle and honor await them.
Is this the genesis of the death howl?
Is it... Perhaps it's definitely the first time we see it here in the Pakbat. There has been a great deal of debate whether or not it goes back farther than that. However, the other side of that debate is that the idea of announcing noble warriors entering specifically Shtovo Kor wouldn't have happened until this time. So indeed, this absolutely could be the genesis of that. You're right. Again, I can't always give specific answers. I can only tell you the possible interpretations that have been made and then allow the student to debate it out and come to their own decision.
Yeah, I would say that we are witnessing Kaelas's influence on the creation of Shtovo Kor and the Death Howl and things like that.
Exactly.
That would be my point of view.
That's how I've seen it too, but I don't have enough proof of that to do other than to express my conviction. Okay. Canto 18.
Molor Chalkach, Molor Dak He Roshtachvish, Yoch Bor Shuvit Lau, Pumoch Kalish Rob, Molor Rob Be, Chalkach Dajvo, Chash Dodge Bej, Might Bitresh Bej Tachvish Mon, Rick Pum, Chash Dodge Lau, Etler, Rick Kempak. Krech, ler, shuvit puvam ku, not mait lupai chach, ej kul lungash mindu chaj, dach molor chalkach avlubor, pirmush lupau ta, kelish kempak krech je, yor nej kelish min, ej kich chuk cha lord min. Edge Jach Kalish.
The Tower of Molor. Many brave warriors fall by the hand of Kalish in his path to Molor. Molor, he does not do battle. From his tower, he watches his troops. First, he watches the battle smiling. Then he sees many of his troops fall. Then he sees the Kempakek. These fearsome warriors, they fight without remorse. And there is fire in their eyes. Now, Kalish and the Kempakek, they reach the base of Molor's guarded tower. Kalish looks up, and for the first time, the two meet eye to eye, and Kalish shouts. Now, it's interesting. It does say that the two meet eye to eye, but you realize, of course, that this is Molor at the top of a tower looking down at the base of the tower where Kalish has arrived. And what is actually meeting, of course, is their eyes. It's the first time they've literally laid eyes upon each other. I could see a painting done like this from either one of their perspectives. This is very visual to me. And this idea of the Kempakek fighting on the side of Kalish. We get very little description of what the Kempakek look like, but they must be incredibly fearsome look. It does say there's fire in their eyes, and these are spiritual beings, right? Possibly looking like the Fechlar is described, or maybe just somehow otherworldly. Must be incredible to see on the field of battle.
Just to remind our listeners, the Kempakek are the soldiers that Kotar left for Kalis?
They are, yes, exactly. These are the honored dead, the spirits from Grathor that came to Khotnosh with Kotar, ostensibly to bring Kalish back. But, of course, they had their conversation a few cantos back, so we know they've come to an understanding, and they're now fighting together. As I said, that must be a fearsome sight from the point of view of Molor. Now, this really is Kalesh's response to Molor's taunt. Molor sent them out, and you know, it's going to take a while, but you're going to die. You're definitely going to die. You are nothing but a globfly. And here he sees them mowing through his armies, getting to literally the base of his tower. I believe he was filled with fear. You know?
I suppose another way to look at it is Kalos has gotten to the base of Molar's power.
Yes, yes. And base of his power, you notice it says specifically, Molar, he does not do battle. From his tower, he watches his troops. That's very characterizing, right? From a Klingon standpoint, that's cowardly. He's hiding behind a wall and letting his army go out and fight for him. Whereas Kalish is literally leading his army from the front. He is on the front line of his own army. That's another juxtaposition of these two warriors.
That would also be kind of a necessary thing, though, in my mind, because Molar is established and Kalos is challenging.
True.
So he would be expected to lead his army at the head of the army because victory is not certain here.
True. Not only that, there's something to be said for the type of leadership, right? Molar leads through intimidation, through fear, and Kalos leads by example, by inspiration. And he doesn't need to instill fear because he has something much stronger. He has the respect of his men.
We're going to see something interesting here in a moment in the next conto, but mm-hmm. what we're talking about looks forward to it, foreshadows yep. it. So I'll mention it briefly just so we can see the comparison as it comes up. And that's, here we see a portrayal of Molar that any modern Klingon can easily see lacks something,
mm-hmm.
that it isn't the ideals of being a Klingon that are being portrayed here for Molar. And interestingly, in a moment, we're going to see Molar claiming that it's the actions of Kalos that are dishonorable, that are non-Klingon in nature. The fact that he's using dead spirits to win this battle, Molar sees as more dishonorable than the fact that Molar is sitting up in his guarded tower, avoiding the actual battle.
What he's essentially saying is, hey, you're cheating.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Kalos, you're cheating by actually participating in the battle while yeah. I'm not cheating by sitting up here directing my troops from safety.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to a modern Klingon.
And it is something that we see time and time again of the traitorous, right? This confession through projection, you know, as I like to call it. The cowardly, dishonorable one is the one saying you are cowardly and dishonorable. Okay, Canto 19.
And before I start reading, I'll point out here on this Canto 19, the poor title that it has. So we heard earlier a canto which had been titled Vak Molar, or in English, Molar Taunts.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is called Kalish Vak Molar, Molar Taunts Kalos, which there's the other one he was doing too. So but these titles have been added. They are not part of the original Pakbak.
Right.
And so I don't know that I like the way they've titled them, especially since this one being called Molar Taunts Kalos starts with Kalos's scream. And the last canto it ended by saying Kalos screams, and now we're gonna hear what he screams. So this is really Kalos's taunt of Molar.
Good point.
Kalish Vak Molar, Kotnosh Urwit, Shakshub Urwit, Sher Maj Urwit, Chal Kachlij Vo Yerir, Kuchwij Vil, Shuvjaj Kuchlij Vil, Etlwij Shuvjaj Etlij, Yemej Kalish, Toit Wit A Shuvwit, Kapu Mir Devwit, Petak a shoch, belight de kahar be kuv rja chuk ko, jelight de rech bat jipab chur, krap la me widge, hoch vitat ta e dahar a kuv vuv nuv par rajbor nech.
Traitor of Khotnosh, traitor of Thakshub, traitor of our race. Come down from your tower and fight me ridge to ridge and blade to blade. Be gone with you, Kalas, warrior of the slaves, leader of evil spirits. You dirty Petach, your word means nothing to me. Don't speak to me of honor. Did you think that my word of honor would have carried me this far? Honor is for those with nothing to lose. Yeah.
Kalas's lines are chilling.
Yes. Yes, they absolutely are. He's calling him out. I mean, literally and figurative. He's without calling him a coward, he's calling him a coward. Come down from your tower, you know? Quit hiding behind your walls. Come face me, ridge to ridge, blade to blade. And for a taunt, this is nowhere near the taunt that he makes before. Be gone with you. Go away, Kalash, is what he's saying. Warrior of the slaves, leader of evil spirits. That has a hollow ring to it too, because imagine it from the point of view of his army. Slaves, are we? Well, okay, fine. And we're breaking our chains right now. All you're doing is dealing them to their own victory. Leader of evil spirits? Wow. That's actually pretty impressive when you think about it.
So Molor should have read about Spartacus.
I'm pretty sure that Spartacus was a human retelling of Klingon stories.
Oh, well, there you go.
But I think we're also seeing here is you've got two distinct versions of honor going on. You've got Kalas viewing honor as something you're going to achieve for yourself, and Molar just a means to an end.
Absolutely. And it's, in fact, he even implies that it's a luxury. You know, it's not something that's necessary, and it's how does he put it? Honor is for those with nothing to lose. You know, no. Honor is for all. It is to be achieved and held sacred. Canto 20, I think, will be our last for the night.
If I can make a side note here,
sure.
That is just humorous and doesn't lead to much extra. But, you know, the English has this line, you dirty Petach.
Yeah.
I think of, was that, what's the human's name? James Cagney, is it? You dirty Petach.
Dirty Petach.
The Klingon, however, gives me a completely different.
I can hear it. Yes.
Well, it actually gives me a completely different, because I would have translated the Klingon much differently. And the Klingon here is something that's difficult to translate into English. A Petach. The makes it more than a Petach, a greater kind of Petach.
Yeah.
And so I would translate the Klingon as, you are the great Petach. But then I start thinking of, you are the great Petach.
But I think it's worth explaining for the human listeners, a Petach, you know, it is an insult. It means something like a worthless animal. You know, I suppose that's the best translation I can come up with it. So, you dirty animal, you know, you dirty, you know, vermin seems like the appropriate one. So, yeah, I do find the James Cagney reference quite humorous. I see what you're saying there. Okay, Canto 20.
Pet vil mupmech betlech kach. Molor, molor, molor. Shanlij danarg lach bet. Chal kach dak bikrad bet je. Kalish krech dev davem moch pu. Shom rout du daj teb kajun pak. Kim choch lach chu yab daj. Chal kach lij. Rach luta bor tut dak mol betlech muptach vish tait moch krech daj choch molor 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 shan lij danar lach bet chal kach dak bikrad bet je pa bikram Behivdinchak darur ku edge run khabog might nit jun ach dach kom chal kachlij edge kam dutlij bing vo tur nab chu och molor 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 shanlij danar lach be chal kach dak bikhad be je dach yav dak dej kach rach luta bor kledj let yo lij khur lij uch kelish dach ro lij vo tik du lij lelach ach du kham moch molor 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 shan lij danach lach be chal kach dak bikhad be je
the mighty blow of the battle. Malor, malor, malor. You cannot escape your fate. Even in a tower, you are not safe. You have awoken Kalish's anger, his muscles filled with rage, his mind focused and clear. The Batleth sunk into the post of your fortified tower, and his rage focused in one blow. Malor, 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 you cannot escape your fate. Even in this tower, you are not safe. You stood there. You attack like a Krencha, short and fierce, avoiding long and dangerous battle. But now your tower rumbles, and soon it will disappear from under your feet. Malor, malor, you cannot escape your fate. Even in a tower, you are not safe. Now, the mighty structure comes down to the ground. Together with your pride, Kalish grips you by the throat. He could rip your heart out at will, but instead, he puts you on your feet. Malor, 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 you cannot escape your fate. Even in a tower, you are not safe.
For the listener, I should point out that a Krencha is a lizard indigenous to Kronos.
Good point. Thank you very much.
And I think the point in the comparison here is that the lizard can be quite fierce and can do some damage, but likes to scurry away as quickly as he can. So even when threatened, maybe he makes a quick bite, but he doesn't stay to fight.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And so what we have seen thus far is we have seen from the Battle of Kamchi literally to the doors of Molor's stronghold, okay? I think that's where we're going to end it for the night, and we will pick up next time with the actual battle between Molor and Kalish. That's all I had on this. Any questions or anything else anyone wanted to say?
I think I will add, in case it's not clear, that Kalish has an opportunity to end things quickly and permanently. He, as the tower falls, he is able to catch hold of Molor by the throat.
Yep.
And chooses not, I think there would be no dishonor in him simply ripping out the throat right at that point, but he chooses not to end the battle there. He chooses to set Molor down and turn it into a one-on-one competition for the lives of all Klingons.
I choose to believe that the reason for that is because Kalish has his eyes on something greater than just winning this war. This is going to be the final battle of a war here, and he's nearly won. But he also realizes that he is setting an example for those who see him and for all the future generations that will be telling these tales. He is literally laying down the groundwork for the understanding of honor and the Klingon way. So I think it's crucial that that he did make that decision. He oftentimes the path of honor is not the easier path. And I think Kalish knew that.
Yeah, once Molor is defeated, what Kalish is counting on is everyone flocking to his banner and to avoid unnecessary bloodshed.
Right. So, I think that's where we'll leave it for tonight.
Well, John Shi and Kartan, thank you for your wisdom and your interpretation and your leadership on this.
Once again, it has been an honor.
Oh, it is awesome.
It's a very good discussion.
Yes.
Come on.